up to Psalms chapter number 84. Psalms chapter number 84. I know most of you were here this past Sunday evening, but this past Sunday evening on the 29th of December, we had our New Year celebration. We introduced our 2014 theme. We have it up there on a banner. It's called A Heart for God. And to remind you of our theme verse, it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Therefore the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." So the idea here is that God is looking for someone he can use to show himself strong through. And God is looking for individuals who will have a heart for him, who will have a heart, and it says a perfect heart, meaning one that is mature, or a heart that is perfect toward him, meaning that you have a heart for God and a heart for the things of God. And so on Sunday nights, sometimes on Sunday nights and sometimes on Sunday mornings, we're going to be looking at this issue of a heart and having a heart for God. Now, we're obviously not talking about a physical heart that's pumping inside of you, but instead the center of your life, the emotional center of your life, your heart where you make your decisions, and your heart where you, the things that just mold you and make you and motivate you. And that we want that place to be a place that is one for God. Here in Psalms chapter number 84, we're going to look at the message today being what a heart for God looks like. So we're going to introduce here first is, say, okay, Pastor, what is a heart for God? And I want to give you a passage of scripture here today to give you an idea of what a heart for God actually looks like, what a heart for God looks like. Here in Psalms chapter 84, I think David wrote this chapter. I think David wrote this, as you see at the introduction part, for the sons of Korah, which are the ones that took care of the tabernacle. But I think David wrote this when he was in exile. He was away from the tabernacle, could not get to the tabernacle like he wanted to. And here you see the words that he pens here. And this, I think, gives you a picture of what a heart for God looks like. Here in Psalms chapter 84 and verse number 1, it says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this place. I thank you for these people. Lord, as we begin this new year, I pray that we truly look into your word and see what having a heart for God really means. And Lord, that we strive for a better relationship for you. Lord, that we pursue after you. And Lord, that we long to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you speak to people's hearts through this passage of scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been talking a little bit in the last few months about pursuing after God, and that was leading up to this moment in time where we have our theme of having a heart for God. And in this thought and this idea of having a heart for God, something that we must all realize, it does not come natural. Having a heart for God does not come natural. Your sinful flesh will never desire a close relationship with God. And the truth is, and the sad truth, is many Christians are farther from God than they've ever been. Many Christians, beginning in 2014, are farther away from God than they have ever been in their lives. And why is that? It's because we have a flesh. And that flesh wars with our spirit. But unfortunately, the battle is being won by the flesh in so many people's lives. This morning, what we're looking for, and hopefully what we're going to help us see, is that David here was a man known as a man after God's own heart. And here, while in exile, writes this passage of Scripture and this psalm inspired by God to help us see what it means to have a heart for God. If we be honest with ourselves, that from the very first day of our existence, we know that we're selfish people. If you deal with children, or if you've ever had children and have babies and toddlers, you realize that they're very selfish at heart. When they want something, they cry. When they want their diaper changed, they cry. When they want to eat, they cry. The only thing they care about is themselves. Even when they're out in store or in a church or somewhere where you just wish they would stay quiet and would not cry, doesn't matter. They're still going to cry. They're going to cry when they want to cry, because that's the way we are made. We're made selfishly. We like to think about our own needs. We like to think about our own desires first. We like to think that we become obsessed with our own significance. Like babies, it's very easy for us to be selfish. And here, I want us to understand a heart for God is one that cares more about God's things than our things, our own interests. The Word of God is clear that the natural man does not love God or desire a close relationship with Him. On the contrary, it hates having this close relationship with God. Think about what 1 John 4:10 says. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. That's the idea. This is what true love is. Not that we love God in our own fleshly way. We cannot. But that He loved us and to send His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So here's our battle. Our battle is here. Are we going to have a heart for God? Or are we going to be interested in the things of God more than our own interests? This is something we face. Are we going to yield our hearts to God? Perhaps there was a day in your life when you heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that He was buried and He rose again, and that you can know Jesus Christ if you call out to Him and ask Him to save you. And if you're here this morning and you've asked Jesus Christ to save you, you know that your heart was tender. At that moment in time, you understood that you had a need, and because of what God did for you, that you had a desire to cry out to Him and say, Lord, I need You, and your heart became tender, and you called out to God. If you're here this morning, you've done that, you know what it means to have a tender heart. The question is your heart still tender to God and tender to God's ways? Here in Psalms chapter 84, we see what a heart for God looks like. First thing, a heart for God is a heart that desires God's presence. A heart for God is one that desires God's presence. David had many, many outstanding characteristics. But if you read his word, you read the words that are written in these Psalms, you'll see that his greatest characteristic was that he always wanted God's presence. Look what it says in verses 1 and 2. It says, how amiable, how beautiful are thy tabernacles. Now you say, what's the big deal about the tabernacle? The tabernacle is what? Tabernacle is the place and the place where God chose to keep his presence. God's presence was there. David desired to be there because of what it represented. It wasn't because of how beautiful it was. It wasn't because the priests got dressed up in their beautiful garments and they performed all their different things that they did, or the different instruments that I'm sure were beautiful in their own right. The reason why David was interested in the tabernacles and what attracted David to these tabernacles was because God's presence was there. And if you really truly want to have a heart for God, you're going to have to desire the presence of God. Continue on reading. It says, O Lord of hosts, it says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. David had one driving desire, and that was the presence of God. He wanted to see. He wanted to hear from God. His desire for God's presence was so intense, this became his highest admonition. This became his greatest desire. Even David saw that he had at one point later on in his life, he saw he had his own house, and he says, shouldn't God have a house? And he wanted to build this great temple for God, and God would not allow him because he was a man that had blood on his hands, and God allowed his son, but God allowed David to get everything ready so that way they could build this great temple. And here we see that David's desires was one for God's presence. And how often do we really truly long for God's presence? See what it says in verse number 2 at the end. It says, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. In Psalms 27, 8, it says, "Seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Psalms 119, verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." If we really, truly want to know what a heart for God looks like, it's one that wants the presence of God. It desires the presence of God. You think about David here, and he's talking about how his heart and his flesh cry out for the living God. When's the last time that you cried out for anything? I don't know. Maybe when someone's in pain, they cry out in pain. Sometimes, maybe at Christmas time, you got some type of gift where you cried out because of the present you got. David's cry, his intensity was based off of this. He wanted the presence of God in his life. David's intensity was so great, he was willing to give up so much. When's the last time that you're willing to maybe take a half hour or an hour or even a whole day to say, I'm going to spend this day with God to seek his presence? When's the last time you've given up anything, a TV show or just time in your busy schedule, to say, I want to hear from God. I want to seek God. I want to feel God's presence. You think about it, the Olympic athletes, what do? For 4 years of their lives, most of the time they're young people. You can't get young people to give up very much. But for Olympics, some young people will train night and day. They'll give up their families. They'll give up their holidays. They'll give up eating the things they enjoy. They'll give up doing the things they enjoy. Why is that? For a certain goal and for a certain purpose. David's intensity, his desire here was what? It was nothing more than to know God. Look at what it says in verse number 3. David gives his own little illustration here. He says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." He's saying he envisions, he remembers the days and times when he look in the tabernacles, and then there's these birds, the swallow and the sparrow that weren't very valuable birds, but God still cared for them underneath his tabernacle. And it's the idea that any of us can have the presence of God in our hearts. Any of us can have the presence of God in our life. And I'm not talking about some spooky, mystical thing. I'm talking about knowing and hearing from God, understanding God, knowing that God is with you, and understanding that God's speaking to you, and seeking to hear from God. Remember when your heart was tender the day you got saved? That's when God spoke to your heart. You knew you had a need. If you've never been saved, it's when God speaks to your heart and says, you have a need, and the Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart, and then you respond to that need, and you cry out to God, and you ask God to save you. But many times, the last time a Christian has really, truly heard from God and responded was at salvation. It's because they're not listening. They're not hearing what God has for them, and the presence of God is so far away that they just keep on going through motions in their lives. David here is different. David in verse number 4 says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." Those that dwell in the house of God, those who her hearts and thoughts are set on God, those who desire the presence of God, they are the ones that will be praising God. They are the ones that will be lifting God up. Those that remain faithful are the ones. So you want to say, what does a heart for God look like, Pastor? What is it that really makes it different? A heart for God is one who desires his presence. You know, it's amazing. You don't go to a courtroom to just look at the court. To be honest with you, a lot of them are run down. I was in a courtroom in Hertford the other day, a couple months ago. It wasn't for me, don't worry. I was there and I looked around and says, you know what? This place isn't kept up the greatest, you know, but you know, our tax dollars are getting spent other ways, other good ways, I'm sure. But and you don't go to the courtroom just to go around and look at the judge, or maybe if you've got an assignment. But what do you go to the courtroom for? You go to find justice. I don't know about you, but I don't like going to the doctors. I try my best not to go to the doctors. But when I go to the doctors, it's not just to spend time with my doctor or see the nurse. Why do I go there? I go there to get well. How about another thing? Doctor, I don't like. The dentist, I really almost despise. I despise going to the dentist. I don't mind the pain as much as I may mind the pain in the that it comes from me paying the bill for the dentist. That's the one. You know, I don't go there, though, to just talk to Dr. Marshburn and just have a good time. Why do I go there? I go there to try to get my teeth healthy. You know, people go to church for the wrong reasons. You know, many of us are here for different reasons today. Some are because they enjoy seeing their friends. That can be a part of it. Many of us come because we like the music, or we come because we like the fellowship, or we come because we're lonely. But the reason why we should go to church is to hear from God. It's the presence of God that needs to be in our lives. David here is crying out to God, saying, "Boy, I wish I could get back to your tabernacle. I wish I could be at the place where God's presence is. I'm missing being there. I want to be there." He longed for it. He searched for it. If you really want to have a heart for God, it's not just a theme. It means that your life has a desire to know Him and to know Him better. It starts with this. You need to desire the presence of God. Do you want Him in your life? So many times our hearts have become so cold and so callous that we don't hear from Him. We just think it's normal and keep on living a life the same way over and over. And nothing affects us. Nothing moves us. We sing the same songs. We hear the preaching of the Word of God, and nothing changes us. It's because the presence of God is gone for most of us. Now, I know God says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I know that He is there, but we have gone so far away. It's become superficial. And the building is beautiful. The activities are great. The teachers are wonderful. The choir is great. Those things are all surface things. Programs, that's surface. But you know what is not surface? It's God wanting to meet with you. This is where God meets with people. And I know you can go and you can pray at your house. I know you can pray everywhere. And the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. But where does God intend to meet with you? It's right here. The presence of God. And do you have a desire for God's presence? That's the first thing. If you want to identify a heart for God, or what does a heart for God look like? One who desires His presence. Second thing I want you to see, not only is it desiring the presence of God, but a heart for God is one that determines to be fixed on God. It's one that determines to be fixed on God. Look what it says in verse number 5. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them." So what the Bible is saying here is that happy or blessed is the man that God's going to be able to use, or the person that God's going to be able to use, is whose strength is in thee. It's the person who finds strength in God, and also in whose heart are the ways of them. Not that's what the Bible is saying here. Is not only does your heart need to be a heart for God's presence, but it needs to have a heart for God's things, for God's ways. And how do you do that? It's by fixing your heart on the ways of God. The Bible's talk about here is about having a heart that is fixed on Him and His ways. Not only does David need to feel closer to God, he realizes that he needs to have his heart fixed on God. His strength needs to come from God. He needs to lock in. He wants to be on an understanding in that relationship with God. His heart is fixed on the ways of God. His heart is determined. He's not going to let it to go to the right or go to the left. It is looking and searching for the presence of God. It's like locking on a navigator. You've seen those movies where you got the airplane pilot out there and they're looking for the enemy plane, and when they get them in their target range and when they get them on the radar, they get them locked in. That's when they can shoot the missiles. Sort of like that's what it means to be locked in on God and locked in on God's things. You know, many of us can go and we say, "Yes, I have a heart for God. Yes, I desire God's presence." This is the true test here. Is my heart for God really for the things of God? Because this is the things of God. These are the things of God. If you really truly want to know what a heart for God looks like, we might be able to put rose-colored glasses on and says, "Yes, I desire the presence of God." But when our life does not live up to it, that's not what a heart for God is. It's sort of like our GPSs. You put in an address and it's going to do what? It's going to take you right to that location. That's what it means to have your heart fixed on God. It means to have His desires in our hearts. Have Him be our greatest desire for our life. His things. If God tells us what to love, God tells us what to hate, God tells us what we should be looking at and what we should not be looking at, it's fixing our heart on the things of God. The things that God lifts up, that's what we lift up. The things that God puts down, that's what we put down. If you really want to know what a heart for God looks like, it's not only loving God, but loving the things of God. The Bible says in Psalms 57:7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. What does that mean? It means that it's focused on God. I don't know about you, but the truth of the matter is that many times, especially in the case of men, they got this idea of a conquering type personality. They see something they want and they go conquer it. You say, what do you mean? Well, think about it. When you're pursuing after your wife or pursuing someone you're dating, what do? You go out there and you're really nice to them. You might develop little pet names for them. You open the door up for them. You treat them really nice, and you're trying to do what? You're trying to woo them. You're trying to get them to appreciate and reflect those feelings back to you. But many times what happens in many marriages is the man that they married is not the same man that they're living with today. No longer do they treat them the same ways because they've already, in a sense, won their affection. They've already conquered it. And it's like this case with many men, is that men are good at finding something that they want or having a desire to do something, and they'll rearrange your schedule, they'll move things. If they have a house they want to buy or they have a toy that they want to buy, they'll go and they'll save up their money and they'll do everything they can to do what? To get the thing that they desire. Their heart becomes fixed on it. I got to be honest with you, that is the way I am about certain things. Is there something that I desire, something I want, I think about it, and I go after it, and I try to pursue after it. If it's a physical goal or if it's obtaining something, you know, that's something I try to do, and that's just how men are built many times, is they got their heart fixed on something until they accomplish it. And don't get me wrong, ladies have their own way of doing things. Ladies, many times, men, have you ever felt like you're being buttered up? You go home and you got your favorite meal on the table and the house is, you know, completely clean. The kids are being really nice to you. Everything just seems perfect and you just want to turn around and say, okay, what is it that you want? Or who wrecked the car? Or what broke this? You know, it's the idea that they're working for a certain goal. Their heart is fixed on something. I need this and I need to do whatever I can to get to this spot. And that's what having your heart fixed on God is. It's saying that I need to put myself on the target and I need to make God my GPS and that everything I do has my heart fixed on it. It's fixed on godliness. It's fixed on pursuing after the things of God. You know what? We just need personal revival. In our own hearts, we need to ask God to forgive us for our apathy, to forgive us for our coldness. And we need to stop neglecting and forgetting about our personal relationship with God. And in 2014, if we really want to have a heart for God, that's got to be our fix. That's got to be what we're looking at. That's got to be our goal, is God and the things of God. But if we're honest with you, how many of us have that as the number one thing on our list? If we're pursuing, we're moving things around, we're trying to accomplish things, we're trying to see the next thing that we can accomplish, the next thing we can get done, and there's nothing wrong with planning for the future, there's nothing wrong with having goals, but when God is left out of it, you've missed the whole important part. We need to learn to fix ourselves on God. You know, so many times our Christian lives is like a roller coaster. We're in God's fellowship, we're out of God's fellowship. We go one way, we go another way. That's not the way the Christian life is supposed to be. Our heart's supposed to be fixed on God. So how do we get our heart fixed on God? It's because we come in alive with this idea and understanding that we must love the things of God. You say, what's the big deal about the things of God? Well, see, the Bible tells us our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. We cannot know our own heart. And that's the reason why we got to love the things of God. Say, Pastor, I don't see why it's a big deal in the way I dress or in the way I act or the things that I do. See, when we take our hearts off of God and we're not fixed on God, we start doing the things we want to do. We start caring about those things. But if we really, truly want to see what a heart for God is, it's a heart that's fixed on Him. Well, you think about it. In our society, it's become so easy for a person to love their mate one day, and the next day they start pursuing another person. It's become so easy for us to be dedicated one day and the next day just walk away from God. Don't look at me like I'm being foolish here, because how many times have we made that commitment? How many times have we said, hey, I'm going to serve God. It's time for me now, 2014. I'm going to live for God this year. And then the next day, we're like, oh, maybe I'll start that some other time. Why is that? It's because our hearts aren't fixed on it. We make a decision. We get up, but our hearts are still fixed on everything else in this world. This morning, if you really want to know what a heart for God looks like, a heart for God is one who desires his presence, one who determines to have his heart fixed on the things of God. There are people who say, I need to get closer to God. There are people who says, I'm gonna determine things that bring me closer to God, and those are the things I'm gonna do in my life. I know that if reading my Bible is going to get me closer, I'm going to read my Bible. I know if praying is going to get me closer, I'm going to pray. I know if treating people right is going to get me closer, I'm going to do that. I'm going to memorize the scripture. But I know if the TV takes me away from God, I'm going to stop the TV. I know that the wrong music gets me away from God, I'm going to stop the wrong music. You know, whatever it is that keeps your heart fixed on God, those are the things that we must stay focused on. Last but not least, not only is it a heart that is desirous of the presence of God and determined to be fixed on God, it's a heart that delights in God's path. It's a heart that delights in God's path. I want you to see this here. Look here at what it says in verse number 10. It says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. You know what David's saying here is, David's been through a lot. He's been out in the field. He's killed Goliath. He's been through the wilderness. And I don't want you to miss this part. He was saying, I've lived a lot of days. I've lived for myself. I've lived for God. And he's saying in verse number 10, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. What does that mean? It means a day in the presence of God is better than 1,000 days away from the presence of God. This is the point. This man had a heart for God. His love was there. He cared more about God than anything else. He's saying, when I am right with God and when I'm in his presence and when I'm understanding and hearing from God, that is much better than anything else this world has to offer. And David, he had luxuries all around him. Maybe not this moment when he's in exile, but we see that he was this great king. He had so much he could have. He had so much he could live for. He had so many things he could do. He had many women. He had many children. He had any pleasure that he wanted. But he says, the greatest day of my life, or the greatest days of my life, was when I was in thy presence. See, a heart for God is one who's going to delight. Is going to delight in that being in the presence of God. They're going to delight in coming to church, not because of the fact they get to see their close personal friends, not because of the fact they can check off something, because of the fact that they've done their God's work for the week. No, they delighted to come to God because this is the place where God meets with people. This is the place where they hear from God. This is the place where they learn about God. This is the place where they get to praise and sing about God and do service for God. And that's what David's saying. I would rather spend one day in the presence of God than spend 1,000 days out of his presence. Man, that's delighting in God. Look what it says next. It says, not only that, it says, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. What the Bible's saying there is, David saying, I would rather be in the most humbling position when it came to the tabernacle than to be in the most exalted position away from God. He says, God, I will do whatever you want. God, if all you want me to do is to be a doorkeeper. Now, we're not talking about a position that's lifted up there. What it means is, what he's saying is, like the beggars that could only sit outside, if I could just sit out there to just be near you, it's more valuable to me than be dwelling in the tents, which means having a high position amongst those that were wicked. David's saying it's more important. I delight in you so much that I will be whatever it is that you want me to be if it just means that I get to be close to you. That's what delighting in God. That's what David's saying. He's a pastor. He's a king. He gets to do whatever he wants. Right now, this moment, he's in exile. He's saying, Lord, if you can just get me back to your tabernacle, if you can just get me back into your presence, Lord, if you can just get me back to that place I desire to be, I don't have to be king. I don't have to be the one in charge. I just want to be close to you. And that just blows the mind of so many people. Because so many times people put conditions on God. I'll live for God if I can do this. I'll live for God if my family can be healthy. They put conditions on God. I'll serve if I get to pick what I want to do. Man, that's not in the Bible. I'll sing if I get to sing a special. I'll go and I'll do this if they put conditions on God. I'll give if God gives me this. Wow. That's putting a condition on God. That's not delighting in God. David's saying here, he's saying, look, I would rather be a doorkeeper. He says, you can take all the riches, you can take everything away. I would rather just do the most simple, humbling task there is and serve God than to be lifted above everyone else and to be in charge of the wicked. Is that how you feel today? I don't know about you, but that's not the response I get from most Christians today. It's a privilege to serve God. That's not what we get lots of times. Most of the times it's a resentment. Most of the time they kind of drag themselves in. I guess most is the wrong way of putting it, because we have a lot of wonderful people, wonderful servants. I'm talking about Christianity in general today. It's not what I can, they look at it how I can get something out of it instead of what I can put into it. That's not what Christianity is about. It's about serving God. He's our master. We are servants. And if you want to know what a heart for God is, a heart for God is one who desires his presence, one who's determined to be fixed on him. Nothing is going to sway him. He is going after God, and he is keeping his eyes focused on him, but it's one in delighting in God's path, delighting in God's will. God give us an opportunity, God's given us a way, and I'm going to delight in it. Whatever it is that God leads me, I'm going to take care of it. You say, Pastor, where do you see this? Well, look here what it says here in verses 6 and 7. It says, who, passing through the valley of Abaca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And here's the idea, is that the men were required to go to Jerusalem every year. They were required to go to the tabernacle, every year. And many had to pass through this valley Abaca. This valley was one that was a treacherous valley. It had a long journey. It was a difficult journey to get there. And as they got to this journey, they made a well to help quench the thirst. And if they got to a spot where they did not have well, what they would do is they would begin to build and dig a well. And this digging a well, this is a treacherous journey, but they would get there and their strength would be from God. You saw in verse number 7. And the idea, the picture that's given here is that as they began to dig the well, that the water came and God provided the water. You see what it says? It says, the rain also filleth the pools. That they began to dig the well and God provided for their needs. And I got to be honest with you, that the Christian life is not always easy. There's valleys in our Christian life. There are hard times, and we need to be aware that there's times of trial and times of difficulty. If you set your heart on God and you want to live for God, you're going to find and you're going to come across the pace where times are going to become tough and times are not going to be easy. And that's what it's saying here in verses 6 and 7. He's remembering this trek. He's remembering this journey. And he's saying that even though when you go to the tabernacle, things are going to be tough, but God is going to provide it well for you. He is going to provide the spiritual strength that you need to succeed in your journey. If you go after a heart for God and you desire his presence and you determine to be fixed on him, God will provide the wells and God will provide the rain to fulfill your strength when you need it. Look at verse number 7. He provides strength. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appear before God. He's saying everyone that goes to desire in the presence of God, he will give them strength. But he also gives him satisfaction. As we saw in verse number 10, he was able to cry out and say, Lord, I am thankful and being happy just to be near you. You think about it. If Paul in the prison cell can find satisfaction, if Stephen can forgive while being stoned, if John while being on the Isle of Patmos can find joy, we can find joy and satisfaction if we will determine to have a heart for God. What was the secret of Paul? What was the secret of Stephen? And what was the secret of John? Is that their heart was determined and set on God and the things of God. Times were not easy, and times will not be easy for you in 2014. I can promise you, if God speaks to your heart this morning and you make a determination that you're going to try to have a heart for God in 2014, if you're going to try to desire the presence of God in your life, if you're going to try to focus and be fixed on the things of God, you're going to have trials. You're going to have hard times. You're going to have times that things become difficult in your life. But I can also promise you that when you live for God and you do not set conditions, don't say, I'm going to serve God if my pastor is nice to me this year. or if he preaches really good, or if he does this, or if my wife is supportive of me, or if my husband helps me. If we make those excuses, we're never going to have the heart for God. But when we have a heart to feel his presence, when we determine to be fixed upon him, God will help you. He'll provide the well when you need it. He'll pour the rain down when you're thirsty. He'll provide you the strength when you need it. Look what it says in the last verse. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. The man that learns to trust, the woman that learns to trust, the child that learns to trust is the one that will be blessed. David here, in exile, desiring just to be near God again. He could have complained about his situation. He could complain about what's going on in his home. He could complain about many things. But all he was looking for was to be close to God. I'll end with this thought. We have too many Christians today that have gone AWOL. We got too many Christians that have gone off on their own way, no longer serving. The Bible puts the Christian race as Christian life as a race, that we run it with patience, we run it for God. But too many Christians have taken themselves out of the race and they're sitting on the bleachers. And while they're sitting on the bleachers, they're saying, why doesn't that guy run a little faster? Or that guy's not running the way I would run. Or that lady, boy, she could be running so much differently. And we're critical, but all we're doing is sitting on the sideline. We need to get back in the race in 2014. If we really want to have a heart for God, you're going to have to start off by desiring his presence. And I think that's the case for a lot of us today. Is God, I need to hear from you. I'm going to set aside an hour. I'm going to set aside 2 hours if needed. I'm going to set aside a whole day if needed. I'm going to do whatever it is that I need to do to get a hold of God. And I'm not going to let anything stop me because I'm going to be fixed on him. And no matter what happens in my life, I can find delight because God is my goal. Nothing else is my goal, but God is my goal. This morning, do you have a heart for God? Let's go ahead and stand for our feet.